You would turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're going to read one verse. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. The title of my message today is What a Man Ought to Provide for His House. Now, the interpretation of this text deals specifically with the care of widows as you read the immediate context. It's the responsibility of family members and church members to see that the needs of believing widows are met. Husbands ought to have enough foresight and initiative to see that their wife and children are cared for in case of an untimely death. But when provisions run dry, it's the responsibility of the family first and then the church to assist widows. Now, with that said, and again, I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on that, I want to make application of the text regarding the responsibilities incumbent upon every man concerning his family. Everybody in the United States, every man needs to hear this message today. Our society is on the brink of moral collapse. Homes are broken and splintered. Young people are being raised without leadership, without moral values, without a dad in the home. And I don't care what the feminists say, what the LGBTQ agenda says. The best way to raise children is with a man and a woman united together in matrimony, striving to teach, train, encourage, empower those children in the ways of God. It's missing in our society. In fact, I think if the truth be told and you really examine things, it's really at least two generations of failed leadership by men. And they've turned it over in large part to women. And listen, I believe, again, men and women are far different. Is there an amen here anywhere? Yeah, we're different. We're just different. We're built differently. We think differently. I mean, just it may be something as simple as this. When I go shopping, all right, I have a hunting mentality. I know what I want. I go grab it, bag it, and I'm out. When a woman goes shopping, now this is the truth. I've seen women. I've witnessed this with my own eyes. Look at shoes that's not even their size. For, you know, and they look and look and look and look. I learned a long time ago one of the best ways to keep my marriage sweet is let my wife do her own shopping. I'm not a shopper. I'm a hunter. And I know I used to aggravate her so bad when we'd go to the store together. So that's one way we keep our marriage sweet. I let her do her shopping like she likes to shop. And I do my hunting. I bag it and get out. But men and women are different. Your kids need the influence of both dad and mom in their lives. When that gets out of kilter and out of balance, it can ruin kids. And we're seeing it today. Do you know, in some of these large cities, there are men who have fathered 10 children by 10 different women and who do not provide any leadership, they don't provide any financial assistance. I'm telling you, men like that are wicked. That's ungodly. That's sin. When you don't care enough about your children that you should feel a responsibility to take care of them, to provide for them. Sadly, a lot of people won't address this problem. It's one of the major problems. It's why there's very little leadership in any home today. And as a result, a lot of kids, a lot of young men are becoming feminized. They're becoming more like girls. And I think it's one of the reasons why you have a rise in the nonsense, and yes, I'll call it nonsense, of transgenderism. There's only two genders. You can't change that. You can dress in different clothes, but your DNA that you're assigned at conception is yours throughout eternity. It's a fact. It's science, baby. It's in the Word of God. Jesus, He recognized two genders. Matthew 19, male and female. And I fear that a lot of men are becoming sissies. And it ought not to be. We need men who will take responsibility for their family by exercising loving and godly leadership within the home. Now, I realize what I've said thus far goes completely against the politically correct narrative in society today. In fact, if somebody would by chance listen to this, they're probably going to say that I've got a bad case of toxic masculinity. This is the way I was raised. In fact, this is the way my mother raised me. My dad raised me. To be responsible. To be a man. To take care of your business. We're living in a day and age when a lot of young people are growing up thinking that the government should take care of their family. There's 9.3 million jobs that aren't being filled right now. Because people are too lazy or too afraid to go get a job. Men, get a job if you're healthy. Now, first of all, what a man ought to provide for his house, men are to provide a living. Ever since the fall of Adam, the responsibility for meeting the physical necessities of the family have fallen squarely on the shoulders of the head of the home. Genesis 3, 17 and 19 says, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread until thou return unto the ground." Husbands and fathers are commanded to work and to provide a living for their family. I don't believe healthy men that are capable, mentally and physical. Now, I've got to say, though, I've got to give you those disclaimers because I don't want you to say that I'm mean. I am mean some things. I know that. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm sick of lazy men. They're ruining their family. They're ruining our society. And it ought not to be. I believe the best way is for the man to provide for his family. And it's set forth that way in 1 Timothy or Titus chapter 2 and in 1 Timothy. I believe that every man should be determined and ambitious enough to make a satisfactory living for his family. You are responsible for your family. You are the head of your home. Now, I can't determine the physical needs of anyone else's family, but I can determine the needs of my own family. And I have, ever since I became a husband and a father, I literally have done whatever it took to make sure that they had clothes on their back, a roof over their head, and food in their belly. I've had to be a hustler a lot in my life. When I was a kid, you can ask my dad, I was always looking for ways to make money. And I love working. So it just fits my personality. But I tell you what, if something would happen to me and I needed money and there was only a minimum wage job available for a fat old preacher and I had to take a job for $8 an hour, I would do it. I would do it. Because I feel it's my responsibility to provide for my family. A healthy man who's not willing to work for a living is a disgrace to society and dishonoring to God. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Pretty strong, isn't it? Doesn't fly in modern day society. I hear a lot about safety nets. I'll tell you, the best safety net you can provide your family is to go out and work and provide a living for them. Don't depend on the government. I think you better wake up. You better realize that the government pot is going to run dry. You can't just keep printing money and throwing it out there and expect not to become like Venezuela. You got to work if you're able. Again, I preface that, if you're able. Proverbs 21, verse 25 and 26, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long." The slothful. I've got a phobia about laziness. I mean, this one thing I don't want to be called is lazy. And there's times I am. I confess it to you, and it's wrong, and I ask the Lord to forgive me, and then I go out and do something as penance. I go out and work and get it straightened up. But I think it's important that men, you not only work, but you teach your children the responsibility of work. Right, Gavin? Amen? He said amen. Amen. That's going to change. Men, you demonstrate love and care and compassion and a strong work ethic when you provide for your family. Every time I quote this verse, I think of that old mushroom farmer, Brother North, out in Iowa. I'm friends with his son, Daniel, on Facebook. Every time we sat down to eat, every meal, there was mushrooms in it. I don't care what it was. They were eating mushrooms. They provided mushrooms to Campbell Soup. And it was a big operation. You'd think, how does somebody grow mushrooms? Believe me, it's a process, and you may not want to know all about it. I took the tour. Ecclesiastes 5:12, he would quote this every time he prayed. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. I think he had 9 sons, and they all worked. And I think it's important that you teach your kids how to work. Dads. Number 2, my dad taught me how to work. When I started working for him at the meat store, at Uber Meats down in Cincinnati, from day 1, he expected me to work harder than the men. I was 18 or 19 years old. I had to do every nasty job there was. He'd say, Tommy, that's your job. Now, I'm telling you something. You start dealing with meat and bones and fat and grease, I've cleaned up some messes you don't want to know anything about. But I was taught how to work at an early age. And you know what? I didn't want to bring shame on my dad's name. I can't stand bosses' sons that are privileged. You know, that, nobody could accuse me of that. Even the men that I worked with there. Because I wasn't privileged. Secondly, men are to provide leadership, not just a living, but leadership. The very first thing you've got to provide for your family in order to lead your family in the ways of righteousness and truth, you have to be led by the Lord. You have to be committed to following Jesus Christ. You need to know Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior. You have to be committed to serving and following Him. We need men who will go to God for wisdom, who are consecrated, and who have the courage to lead their families. And that requires some searching, men. You're going to provide the right kind of leadership for your family. You're going to have to pray like David did. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Men, you need God's direction in your life. You need to pray like the psalmist did in Psalm 143 and verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You have to be going the right way if you expect your children to go the right way, dads. Provide spiritual leadership in your home. Your wife and children should see by your life and example that you personally are devoted to God, that you love His commandments, and that serving God is a top priority in your life. Does your family see that, men? Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now I know the men, when I preach on Father's Day, they all get mad at me. You know why? Because on Mother's Day, I've got a different tone. I'm a little sweeter. You know, I'm a little easier on the moms. Okay? And on Father's Day, I come out with guns blazing. And there's a reason for that. You ought to have a hide tough enough to take it. And recognize, I'm trying to help you in leading your family in a way that's right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, Dad, how about this? Provide spiritual leadership to your kids in such a way that you show them you're not offended by everything in society. We're raising an entire generation that's offended about everything. And that's contrary to the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I am sick of the grievance and victimization industry. And it's because men are not standing up and being men and providing leadership. I love that old John Wayne movie. And I don't know which, I can't remember the name of it. But John Wayne is standing there with this kid who's not his son, but his dad has died or something. And they're standing in front of a creek. And he said, well, you need to just swim to the other side where it's shady over there, and you'll catch fish over there. And a kid looked up at him, and he's about 6 years old, and he said, I don't know how to swim. He said, what? You've never been taught how to swim? He grabbed the kid and threw him in. And the kid learned how to swim real quick, you know. And, of course, his mother came running, and the kid was... He's dog paddling, and he's keeping his head above water, and she's mortified. And then John Wayne finds out she didn't know how to swim. She ran off. She wasn't going to let him throw her in there. Now, what's funny about this, my dad worked all the time when I was a kid. He worked two jobs. We had a little swimming pool in the back, and my mother threw me in the pool when I was about 2 years old. Sink or swim. You better learn how to swim. Isn't that right, Dad? Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure if I would have sunk to the bottom, she would have dove right in after me. But I learned how to swim that way. Lead by example, men. You ever heard somebody say, do as I say, not as I do? Doesn't work very well. Turn over to Proverbs 23. In verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Look at verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Talk about pressure. Look what I do. Look how I live. And follow that. That's what he's saying. You need to do what's right if you expect your family to do what's right. If your children are following your example, where is it you're leading them? Where are you taking them? Are you taking them to the house of God or to the wickedness of the world? Are you giving them an example of a life of devotion, worship, and obedience, or one of chronic disobedience? You look back in Scripture and you got examples. Abraham taught his children right, and God said this, For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. But you look at the king, Jehoshaphat, he compromised. He compromised by uniting with Ahab, and his example ultimately led to him losing his son to idolatry as a result. Your example affects your kids. Dads, lead your family in the way of honesty, consistency, responsibility, perseverance, commitment. If you don't provide godly leadership, I can guarantee the world will provide ungodly leadership. There's somebody out there that is more than willing to snatch your kids and teach them a way that is contrary to God's Word. The best thing you can do is to be a witness. Make sure your kids know that there's only one way of salvation, and it's only through Jesus Christ, the Lord. Through His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And lastly, like that, don't you, Dave? See, I'm picking on Dave instead of Teresa today, even though Teresa really smart. I mean, it's only 20 till 12. She's never entered this territory before, where we're going to get done this early. Right, Ed? Ed observes it all back here. Lastly, provide a living, provide leadership, and provide love. And this is not some just emotion. Love is active. Love is not just ending a phone call by saying, I love you. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I've come around to that. I'm actually saying that to people now in my family. I've softened a lot. Now, Josh, he ain't there yet. When he just says, love, yeah, okay. Yeah, right there, love. How do you provide love? Commitment. Commitment to your wife and children. And that involves self-sacrifice and service. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Interestingly enough, that's the chapter that deals in the way that husbands are to love their wives. Even as Christ loved the church. You know, John 13:1 says that Jesus Christ loved his disciples unto the end. And in John 13:1, he knew exactly that they were all going to run. He knew what was coming. And he loved them to the end. Men, make that kind of commitment to your wife and to your family. You provide love by way of compassion. Again, I'm not exempt from these messages. I got to work on compassion. I don't have a lot of feelings. But you got to be sensitive to the needs of your wife and children. Don't be overbearing. Don't be critical all the time, but caring and kind. And these are things I need work on. Correction. You're going to provide love to your kids? Don't let them get away with murder. Correct them. Spank them. Discipline them. And man, you ought to take the lead in the discipline of your home when you're present. Now the world, and this is getting dated now. Some of us, very few of us now know even who Dr. Spock is. Remember Dr. Spock? He came out with the literature. I don't even know if Dr. Spock had any kids. Stinking hypocrite. But he said, if you love your children, don't spank or correct them. Because they need to learn how to express themselves. And listen, I'm all for expression. As long as it's right. As long as it's true. Disobedience, willful disobedience, shouldn't be tolerated. Because what happens is, if you don't teach your kids to have respect for authority in your home, they're not going to have respect for authority in the workplace or in any other place. And it's going to show in the way they live. Sadly, you got a bunch of uncontrollable brats in society today that have no discipline whatsoever in their lives. The Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or many times. I lived up to that, didn't I, Josh? Yeah. God bless you. You know, I can still remember some spankings I got from my dad. I don't remember. My mom didn't really spank me. She just kind of whooped. She was rough on me. My mom sometimes would punch me in the back, in the neck area, and she was just a little woman. And I always wondered how in the world could she bring that much pain. But now my dad, I'm gonna tell this since he's here today. He had a hunting dog, ironically named Tom. All right? This dog, I think he loved this dog more than me. This dog, every time you'd go around, every time I went around it, he would bully me. He'd jump on me, he'd paw me, and I'd just have to escape for my life. And one time I thought, you know, I'm not taking this from Tom anymore. I was about 6 or 7 years old. I grabbed a switch or something, and I started whipping that dog. And my dad heard Tom whelping. You know how a dog, whoo! He's whelping, man. He was really getting it. Oh, man. That was it. My dad said, did you whip that dog? And I said, nope. He said, I heard it. I said, yeah. He said, you go get that, whatever you were whipping it with, that's what you're getting whipped with. I never forgot that whipping. And I never did do anything bad to Tom again. Although, I held a grudge against that dog. That dog would bring rabbits in. My dad just, he was the best dog there was. And then, lastly, if we're going to provide love, you've got to provide companionship. Spend time with your children, with your family, so that your kids, that your wife and kids, are lifelong companions and friends. Be there as much as possible. Be a blessing. Men, that's what you need to provide for your house. You notice, I didn't spend a lot of time on designer clothes, new cars, the latest fad. Talk more about what you need to give to your kids to train them in a way that's right. And all that more preachers would start preaching this and living it. Let's all stand. We'll sing one verse. Now, I'm not going to shake hands today.